Hey, it's Simon.
And this is Martina.
And we're broadcasting out of Kichijoji, Tokyo, Japan, the sunniest part of Japan.
You say that, but tomorrow starts the rainy season.
Well, it was sunny today, and this is the only day that we spent the full day of the week here in Japan, because we were just in Guam celebrating our 12-year wedding anniversary.
Not 10, not 5, not 2, not 1, but
12 whole years.
And we've known each other for...
So we were engaged for a year and a bit before that, 13. Which makes it 13. And then we were dating for a year before that, which was 14. And then we knew each other for a bit. So altogether, 18. We've been really close with each other for 15 years now. And we've changed so much in that time. We're different people now. We keep on growing. But the one thing
that's... We're different people now. My hair is on my chin before it was on my head.
The one thing that's consistent, I'm trying to be romantic here, is our love for each other.
Sorry about that.
You and me love each other still, forever, always, forever, that kind of thing. Yes.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
We woke up on the 16th, which is our wedding anniversary. And what song did we put on?
Do you know what today is? It's our anniversary. Anniversary. So that's a Tony song. And... It's actually funny because this was the first year that you played it.
I did. Simon went to take a big old dump. And then when he was there, I was like, I'm ready for this.
Every year, I'm the one that plays it. And you, at first, hated the song. You were not into it at all. You were very, very resistant.
Okay,
but now it's tradition.
Yeah.
It's like Die Hard Christmas. Yes. Like it's like now, like every time we have our anniversary, June 16th, we play Tony.
If you can take notes or you take notes in your mind, you just need to look up the band T-O-N-I, not Tony with a Y, Tony. And the song is just called Anniversary, and it's so ridiculous. And like, I couldn't tell at first when Simon played this if this was like a serious song to him. Mm-hmm. It's along the lines of Boys to Men.
Yeah.
Like, I'm making love to you.
It's not that slow. It's not like a slow dance kind of thing.
Really? But the cheesy level is high.
It's ultra cheese. It's very... flagrantly cheesy. To you, first thing I did was take a dumperoo. It's our anniversary.
Morning dumps. It's normal for you, but it's normal but for you.
We went to Guam and we didn't announce it to anybody. We mentioned it to the Rainbow Ladder support team.
Yeah. Which is not our entire channel.
It's not our entire channel. It's just a small group of people that we like to share some things with.
But we kind of felt like we didn't want people to have expectations that we were making a video about Guam. Yeah. And it's not that we didn't want to. It's that we were like, let's just go there and kind of enjoy.
Right.
Have a vacation where we don't have to make a video.
No.
But if we want to make a video, we can make a video.
No planning. Like, we did film like a few things just for our own fun. I'm not sure.
And for the Rainbow Ladder. And
that'll go for Rainbow Lettuce. Hey, this is an advertisement for the Rainbow Lettuce support team.
Oh, the Rainbow Lettuce support team. Join now.
Because for our usual videos, there's a lot of planning. There's a lot of talking. There's a lot of discussing. We just wanted to, like, there's some things that were super fun and we just wanted to, like,
let's just
record.
Tell you guys straightforwardly here.
Okay.
We picked a hotel that had water signs.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, that's all you need to know. We picked we picked out of all the hotels. Like, first of all, we didn't know how small Guam was.
Right.
It's kind of like going to Jeju-do in Korea.
Yes.
Where we were able to drive around all of Jeju in like under 5 hours. Mm-hmm. And we were like, wait, what? That's the whole island?
Yeah.
Guam was quite tiny.
Yeah. You could drive around it in 3 if you want.
Yeah.
And the speed limit is 35 miles an hour. So like, you're not even going like full speed to get around there in 2 to 3 hours.
You said miles and I got the shivers.
I know.
That's not how Canadians speak.
Well, that's what they said on the road. What is 35 miles in kilometers? I think 60? It's like 70
or 70.
I think it's like,
help us people,
60.
Leave it in the comment section, please. But the point is that it's a very slow feel. It's not a rushy, bussy island. Like, it's just kind of like, take your time, man.
Yeah.
Super hot, Okinawa level humidity. Like,
there's
it was 36 degrees
on the roads. Nobody's honking.
And there was just one strip that had all the hotels kind of like wrapped around it. And so when we looked up the hotels online, it's only a 3-hour flight from Tokyo, which is why we chose it, because I don't want to go on like big, huge flights constantly. Mm-hmm. And so when we got there, we realized like it is super tiny and our hotel was the most fun hotel.
It was the Pacific Island Club. We're not paid to say any of this. We just rented it on our own because it
We booked it on our own.
We booked it on our own. Like, because we weren't trying to do any work here or take any pictures. We just wanted to have our own fun. And we chose this one because it had insane water slides to the point that if you're watching the video, you could see a little boop on my elbow. I got that from going way too fast down the slide.
But we also kind of realized that the trade-off of going to a hotel that has water slides and 5 swimming pools and like things that you can run on that float in the water that you have to balance on.
Oh my gosh.
Like tug of war in the water.
And like the basketball that they had. It was so fun.
Pool tables, ping pong.
Ping pong.
it's a kid's hotel. That's what we realized. We basically booked a Disneyland and we were the only people that were like a married couple without kids. Yeah. I didn't see any couples holding hands.
Yeah,
like
this was only a family resort. Yeah. I didn't see anybody there that was there just like husband and wife together. No dating. It's just a family thing. 80% of it was kids, like two parents with a whole heap of kids. And we just
families
saw that
came together with all their kids. Like, so it was just Simon and I being
so
the only
people
that were
It wasn't
adults.
The most romantic place, but it was definitely the most fun. Yeah. It was wildly fun.
Yeah. So outside of the hotel, we tried to go on some adventures to see what, you know, Guam is all about. And the one thing I will say that's like a little bit disappointing to me is that I wanted to try what the local food was because Guam, the people of Guam originally, the Chamorro,
I think that's what it is.
I'm pretty sure it's Chamorro and they are the indigenous people that own Guam, that they were born there.
Yeah.
And then it was like, I think passed on to
supposedly
Spain
I, like from our historian friend, he says that like Guam became American when America beat Spain in the Spanish American War and they gave, how do you give a place to somebody that's like this is yours,
and the people are like we're still here, but
somehow
anyways.
It's so I don't understand it all too much, but like we were looking, we were hoping to find something that was like local, like some
kind of. When we went to Hawaii, we filmed at a place called like Helen's because we looked up what is the Hawaiian food, like what is something that would be actually outside of you know, like something that's been mashed between two fusions,
and whenever
really we couldn't find anything,
whenever we spoke with people, like the main answer that we got is like, where do you eat like the best local food? And they said in my kitchen.
Yeah.
And I think it's just like people prefer to like cook their own food at home. It'd be kind of like asking us like, where's the best place to get a peanut butter jam sandwich?
I really want mac and cheese.
No, you just like, you just make it at home. You don't really go out. So that's my guess. And our second guess was kind of tied into our hotel.
Yeah.
Because we were pretty much the only white people there. It was all Korean people.
A couple Japanese.
A few Japanese people, but mostly Korean people.
So what we realized is that because Guam is so close to Korea, Japan, and the Philippines, it tends to be kind of like this Hawaii of Asia.
Yeah,
which is something that's interesting because you think about things in North America, like North Americans maybe going to Hawaii or people honeymooning in Hawaii, but you don't think about how long it would take somebody from the other side of the world to fly there.
Sure.
Like flying to Hawaii was quite far.
It was.
You know, but flying to Guam was only 3 hours and you have white sands, crystal waters.
Beautiful waters everywhere.
The thing that surprised us was if you're flying from Korea to Guam, wouldn't you want to eat either American food or like local Guam food?
I would think so.
So much Korean food.
Yes.
Literally when we got off the airplane, as soon as we arrived, we saw signs in Korean, signs in Japanese, and then signs in English. And we were like, what is going on? And across the street from our hotel, Korean chicken, three options, Korean massage, sexy massage.
Lots of Korean sexy massage
karaoke.
Shops.
There were Korean restaurants. I was like,
Norebang.
Yeah, Norebang. Yeah. But there was also karaoke. But do you come all the way to Guam to just have like Korean food made by people that aren't Korean and or that are Korean but live in Guam? Like, I don't understand it.
Because like this reminded me of one of our friends that works for a Korean company and they had a project in Spain. And when they went there, they packed one of their luggages full of Shin ramen.
Like
cup ramen. Why would you go to Spain and not enjoy delicious food from Spain? Why would you bring your own food with you?
Yeah. And by the way, we're not ragging on Korean people.
Yeah.
We're saying that the concept of coming to a different country and trying the food that like your own food, like we didn't want Japanese food.
No.
We live in Japan. And so when we arrived there and we saw that they had a ramen restaurant in our hotel, we were like, no, thank you.
I don't
you.
Care how easy it is. It was even free for us because of the room that we had. We could have had free ramen, but I eat ramen in Japan. I want to eat something different when I travel to another country. Is that just us?
Yeah.
Or do
Let
other
us know,
people
guys.
Feel like they need to bring comfort foods with them? Like comfort food is an idea. Like, you know, like people talk about it. So maybe when they travel, they also do that. But I view travel as a chance to be able to get out of your comfort zone. That's the best part of travel, being uncomfortable, seeing yourself in a different light. Like when we were there in Guam for 5 days, I forgot about what life was like in Japan.
I felt very
different. Like here I am driving a car. Like we rented a car and we drove it around. I don't like driving, but I didn't mind it in Guam. It's like you're a different person when you travel somewhere else, you know?
I think, you know, the one time I'm really into comfort food is when we're on the road for a long time. So if we have like a 1 month Eat Your Kimchi tour, like if we're going around Europe or we're traveling around America, I remember, you know, some small things that I could have consistently at my fingertips, like an instant oatmeal or from Korea, I might've brought some like freeze dried stuff that was like for day 13 or something. Mm-hmm. But for such a short time period where mm-hmm. you're coming for a vacation, like ours was less than a week. And I'm sure most of these families were too, because it's like still school time in Korea right now, or maybe the end. So if you're there for 3 days or a week, you don't need Korean food in that time period.
Right.
But for us, we were digging the Korean food because we haven't had Korean food that was like
in the
cheap
hotel buffet.
They had kimchi for days, guys. Piles of kimchi that tasted very legit.
Right.
And we were just piling up our plates. We're like, precious kimchi, because it's so expensive in Japan.
I know.
But we didn't want the Japanese food.
No.
Like they had maki rolls, and the maki rolls were kind of like Korean Japanese maki rolls, like shiso leaf mixed with like
miso soup.
And like, kimchi. And it was like,
didn't want that. I live in Japan.
Yeah.
But we really miss good kimchi. So that's kind of that was our vice. We had heaps of kimchi.
But see, we don't live in Korea anymore. So if we were living in Korea and we came to this resort, I'd be eating the miso soup and the maki rolls. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be eating the kimchi.
One of our favorite memories when we were there is we went to Applebee's.
Guys, our first Applebee's.
This was our very first Applebee's.
It's a chain restaurant.
And I know we're like, hey, you should go to Guam and have local Guam food. But like we'll get there. The reason why we went to Applebee's is because we called the night before to ask if they're going to be playing the Raptors game. Because we've been watching all of the NBA playoffs in our house here in Japan.
We bought the NBA pass.
We got the NBA pass and we've just been watching for the first round, we watched two games a day. And then as it became less and less, and we just watched every single game.
Between 9 a.m. and 11 a.m., we have to get up to watch it.
And it's just watching basketball in the morning in your house just feels so wrong.
Very different.
It feels very different. But when we were in Applebee's, like, this is what I want. I want a bar setting. Yeah. I want to be able to drink something. I want to be in a crowd of people.
Shout out to the girl at Applebee's that made me the best Bloody Mary. Because it's the morning and it's only appropriate to drink mimosas and Bloody Marys, which I know has vodka in it, but somehow we've made this a morning drink. But it was amazing. It had four pieces of applewood smoked bacon.
Yep.
So salty. I haven't had bacon in forever.
I know.
So crunchy. Japan and Korea have no idea how to make crunchy bacon. It's like
it's
something.
It's always so soft.
Always soft.
I want crispy
always like
bacon.
A ham.
I want to pick up my piece of bacon and go, bang it on the plate, and I want it to shatter. I want my bacon to shatter when I eat it.
I want it to be like if Mr. Chill had a bacon making machine and he was like, chill out, and he sprayed someone. You know how in the Batman Forever. Do you know what I'm talking about? He freezes them.
Mr. Freeze? Not Mr. Chill?
Mr. You know what I'm saying. Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he pushed people and it broke. And,
I know what you mean.
When we were at the breakfast buffet, the one time we went at our hotel, I dug through that bin and picked up all the burnt ass looking crunchy pieces.
Right.
And all the people behind me in line that were Asian would get the floppy ones. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, missing out, guys, on that sweet, sweet crispy
but
bacon.
But we had proper bacon at Applebee's. And it was our first time having something like that kind of bar feeling watching game. And it was great because there are lots of people came there in the morning to watch. A lot of people were rooting for Golden State.
Local people, the old cheering people from the military base were there.
Yeah.
Almost everybody was cheering for Golden State in a certain area.
Yeah.
And then there would be like this little split of people with no Raptors merch, but like cheering for the Raptors.
So we were sitting right at the very front of the bar. So we were just dead center because we got there really, really so we could watch the game. And the people to the left of us were Raptors fans. And there was an empty seat beside me. And then the guy to the right of me was also rooting for the Raptors. And this was our little Raptors squad. And a guy sat down beside me, maybe two quarters into the game. And he asked for the waiter to order something. And I looked at him in the eye and are you rooting for the Raptors? Because this is a Raptors only table. And then I picked up the steak knife and I'm like, you better root for the Raptors. I was joking. And then I remembered, hey, this is kind of America. Like, I shouldn't really be wielding knives
and threatening at people and threatening people.
I was just trying to joke. I thought it was funny. But then he left the restaurant. I didn't mean that.
He didn't leave the restaurant.
No, I didn't see
him. He moved to the corner table that you couldn't see.
Where? Oh, it's in the corner.
Yeah. So he got up.
Oh.
He got up. He was so obviously
uncomfortable.
Okay. And then he just moved to another table by himself. And he's like, I'm just here for lunch, man.
So I apologize to the person that I threatened with a knife. But everybody there was really nice. People gave us free beer.
They were so nice. Okay. The bottom line here about Guam that I'm going to say is that people in Guam are so friendly.
Everybody.
To the max.
I didn't meet a single rude person there.
No matter what job they had, if they were working at a cashier, if they were somebody at the hotel helping us with a rental car, every single person in Guam was friendly. The second we stepped off the airplane and people were helping us at the airport, we got into the wrong line because one line said it was for Americans and one was for foreigners. So we got in the foreigner line. And some guy's like, no, you're Canadian. You can get into this line. We're like, what? I'm so sorry.
The taxi driver was friendly. Everybody at the bar was friendly.
Oh,
every store we went to in the mall was friendly.
And by
every nasty that we met. met.
We ran into so many lovely, lovely Eat Your Kimchi fans, were shocked.
Yeah, so many people in Guam, like, watch us. It was
no idea, guys.
Really, really surprising.
And every person was lovely, and every person gave great hugs, despite the fact that we were so gross and sweaty, and we were like, guys, I'm
we'd
so
apologize,
sorry.
And we'd tell them, but they'd still accept the hugs. And
there was a girl at the cashier who had a Sailor Moon tattoo on her chest. She had like the transformation brooch, and I loved it. But everybody was great. And okay, a couple places that we went to that were awesome.
Yes.
We went to, oh wait, hang on, back up, Raptors game.
Yes.
After the Raptors won, that's right, everybody.
Yes.
They won. The Golden
State. I want
to
do a whole podcast talking about like our playoff experience, but I'm not sure if we really have that much in it. But it really meant a lot to us.
We have enough to talk about. The question is if everyone's going to unsub and delete
this podcast.
I
don't know. Like
we
it really meant a lot
to
us for Toronto to win that.
Yeah.
And we were really happy. We were even crying at the
bar. I cried my eyes out.
Everybody was happy for us. Like even though like people were rooting for Golden State,
they
were happy for us. Like we told them like, Golden State won enough. We need this. And they understood, even though they were rooting for the wrong team.
We can do it this year. One year of gloating.
Yes.
And then we went to the stores to try to find Raptors shirts.
Right.
And nothing had Raptors on it. We
were like, I didn't know that you just hold the jerseys of losers. Do you have any winning jerseys? I don't want a losing jersey.
And we were like, just give us this time period to gloat, guys.
I know. So this is our 1 year.
Then I walked across the street and then I bought a book. Because I haven't bought an English-speaking book in a while.
Right.
That was fun.
I really enjoyed that.
But okay, so things in Guam that we had fun with our car.
Yes.
We went to a place called Coffee Slut.
Coffee Slut.
That's right. The best coffee on the whole island.
Right.
They do both nitro and tons of cold brew.
They did
and
tons
local
of
coffees
nitro.
On tap. Like you can mix the kinds of coffee you
want. I went
want.
On a coffee run by myself. And
that went the first time.
Yeah.
But you then went second. Yeah.
I went the second time and I met the owner and he was so passionate, like talking about nitro and his whole process, like the many different kinds of nitro. It's not just because like usually when you go to a coffee shop for nitro coffee, they only just have one version.
Mm-hmm.
But he had many different beans that he did nitro with. They really took it seriously.
You should probably explain what nitro coffee is because that sounds weird.
So nitro coffee is a cold brew kind of coffee and cold brew really like lowers the acidity. So it tastes kind of creamier. But then he said the nitrogen that they add to it.
Like it's a, when you pour it from the tap like a beer, it's fuzzy. It's like, you might have seen it at some Starbucks and stuff.
He said that it lowers the like bitterness by another 20% or so. So it just tastes like a really creamy coffee. For those of you that don't like the taste of coffee, cold brew is a really easy entry way to get into it. I think
you think so.
I think so because it's just so nice and creamy and caramelly.
I disagree.
Oh, is that right?
That's okay.
Okay.
I think cold brew is intense.
Hmm.
I think it's like drinking syrup coffee. Like I don't mean sugar and wise. Yeah. I mean it's just like whoa, coffee. Mm-hmm. Like if you remember, if you can cast your mind back to when we first met, and I would make you like caramel frappuccinos,
well,
and you'd
yeah.
be like.
So that was my gateway. Like I need a lot of sugar and cream
right,
to get into
it. Right, so I'm saying
it.
If it's someone's gateway, I wouldn't be like, never had
that's
coffee.
True.
I'm going to jump straight into
okay,
cold brew.
My bad. You're right.
Yeah, I'd say things like lattes and cafe au lais where you kind of mix it in with milks and stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you do like coffee and you don't want something that's like super bittery, then like nitro cold brew. We can do an entire podcast on Simon and Martina to discuss coffee.
Discuss coffee.
I narrow my eyes over my...
I know someone's doing a YouTube channel just on coffee. I've been watching some of his videos. Yeah, he tries a whole bunch of different like brewing techniques and whatnot.
It's my dream.
The point is we're talking about Guam.
Yes, so Coffee Slut was great.
Was really good.
Then we drove to the other side of the island, like the southern part, and we went to like...
Close to the base, and there was a
taco place.
There was a taco shack.
It was very different than the tacos we're used to having because we've got our secret tacos that we go to that has a very thin tortilla shell.
Yeah.
This one was pretty thick. Like,
really thick
kind of like
tortillas.
Almost like a pancakey tortilla.
Yeah.
But I had the fish tacos and the
shrimp
tacos, and they're both... They know how to season everything really well. The shrimp was so tender, wasn't overcooked.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I noticed. Like the shrimp wasn't chewy, even when we had like the seafood stuff at the hotel.
Right.
And the fish taco, he asked me if I wanted it well done, medium, or like rare. And I'm like, I've never had that question asked.
Yeah.
And I got it like medium rare and it was fine. And I didn't get sick from anything.
Right.
And the flavors were great.
Yeah.
And the pork one was really good. The pork meat one, but it was definitely,
I don't remember the name of the shop cause it was really far away from all the hotels.
Yeah.
Like it took like maybe like 20 to 30 minutes to drive there.
Do you want me to check on my phone while you talk to people?
No, I'd like for both of us to talk together on the phone. I don't want you running away from me.
I'll be right back.
Check on your phone. There's one thing I wanted to mention that was very different for me. When we were in the hotel and when we were enjoying the water park, you and I had our, like, you had your one piece on and I had my trunks and we applied lots of like SPF. It's really important to apply lots of SPF because the sun is a deadly laser and it will burn you.
Mm-hmm.
We never really went swimming in the like early afternoons because the sun's really intense. We would mostly go right when the sun's about to set, and
around
around four-ish, and you know when
UVs
it was dark.
Are coming from seven, going down to like five or four.
And we noticed all the Korean people. Mm-hmm. They would go in with like swim shoes to protect their feet. And then they had these long swim pants. Mm-hmm. And then they had these long, like long sleeve shirts. Mm-hmm. And they'd wear hats
and goggles.
As well and goggles. And they were fully protected from the sun.
Yeah.
And it was so weird because everybody, like I didn't see a single Korean person with their shirt off.
Yeah.
Like every single. So I, it's just so amazing to me how culturally that just became a thing that everybody seems to know, because
they also all had on, a lot of people had on life jackets. And so when we were in Korea, some of the little cultural kind of misunderstandings we would have would be when we went to a theme park for water and they told us like, you have to have a swim cap on. And Simon's like, but I'm bald. And they're like, you have to wear one. And he's like, but my chin hair has more hair than my
head.
But they was really like, just a standard rule and you had to wear a life vest even when you were at a water park going down a water slide. I'm like, but I'm not going to drown.
Right.
But so I noticed that tons of people had on also life jackets.
Yeah.
And then there would be some Japanese families who seemed to have like a different approach towards it.
Okay.
A lot of the Japanese parents had, because we could hear them talking.
Yeah.
The fathers had their shirts off as well.
Uh-huh.
The women had maybe like a bikini top, but maybe trunks.
Yeah.
And the kids looked so confident at swimming. Like they were just like totally like swimming with goggles and stuff on. So I wonder, is it like just depending on where you grew up, like how comfortable you are with pool life? Because I grew up using pools in Nova Scotia. I'd go swimming with the local pool. Like swimming to me is so natural, right? But then we have friends from England who say they rarely ever swim.
Yeah.
And they're really uncomfortable with it. So
and you know what? I actually like at first it looked weird to me when I saw like everybody like just like swimming in clothing.
Yeah.
But then I realized, you know what? It's actually smart.
Very smart.
The idea that you should have like a beach body and you should tan and whatnot. Tanning is terrible for you.
Yeah.
It's not sun damage. It's all sun damage. Yeah. Like tanning is just a nice phrase to say like, oh, I burnt and damaged my skin. So why not wear full things? Like I was super worried about my tattoo, about the color fading. Cause like I have this tattoo, like this first one that I got when I was like 18 or so, it has lots of warm colors and I never put on any sunscreen when I played basketball outside when I was young. Cause like, oh, I don't need sunscreen. And then all the colors faded.
Yeah. He had it touched up in Korea.
Yeah. I had it touched up in Korea. And when you look at like a lot of the signs around Guam, like you saw a lot of them were sun bleached because the sun destroys everything.
Yeah, it's interesting how like the different cultures raise people in a different way. Like I think that the time that we did go out in the afternoon when our friends came to visit, because we met up with our friends very weirdly, our friends that we met in Korea, who then moved to Japan, who then they flew to Guam for their vacation to meet us.
Yeah.
And so we had like a family vacation with our American friends that we've never met before in America. In America.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we went swimming in the afternoon with them. And then I wore my rash guard.
Yeah, you did.
I wore a full hat with sunglasses because the rash guard's from Korea.
Right.
I always wore it when I was in the pool. Like, so it's interesting the different way the different cultures kind of rub off on you.
So do other countries do this? So we know a lot of people listen from different countries.
Yeah.
So in your country, when you go to the beach, do you expose skin or do you dress up like head to toe, like literally head to toe?
Picture leggings, like someone wearing like leggings and then
with no skin exposed.
Yeah.
Is that just a Korean
bathing suit on
thing?
Top of the leggings?
Like, I want to know because I haven't been to beaches in many other countries. Like, I've been to a few, but I've only seen it with Korean people.
I've not really been to a lot of beaches in
Europe. We haven't.
No. Yeah.
No.
No.
And in Canada, it's shirtless.
Yeah, for sure.
But like in Korea, like I remember on the Korean beaches, they also like wore that.
Yeah.
So this is like how what's it like in Europe? What's it like where you are?
Yeah, maybe in China, they also do the same thing because I remember buying stuff online when we were in Korea for covering up.
All right.
And a lot of it was like really cool giant hats that would like fold out. And remember my like Ajumma hat that I would wear when I biked?
Yeah.
All of that was for sun. Yeah.
Anyhow, so
last place before we forget.
Yes.
Inside of the mall that we had that dope Indian food.
What mall?
Inside of the mall in Guam.
There are three malls. Which one?
The one upstairs where we had Indian food. The Micronesia Mall?
Okay. It's the one that has the Macy's. It has the two different
the
Macy's.
Yes, the one that has the Macy's.
It has a Foot Locker.
I think it's called the Micronesia Mall.
Maybe.
Yeah. And we had amazing, dope Indian food upstairs.
Really good
there.
Indian food up there.
And I wanted to mention that after the tacos, but then he started talking about clothing and I got distracted.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Is there anything else you wanted to say about hotel life? Because I think we're wrapping up the end here.
I think we're wrapping up. So that's our little Guam vacation.
Well, we have so much more to say. It feels like we might need a part two.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Well, guys, someone's like, I don't think so. I'm done. That's it. Did you have
I'm ready to talk about the Raptors next. The Raptors won. Hey, Raptors.
On my hand, please.
Oh, sorry, girl. girl.
You over-squeezed it with your giant muscle hands.
Just so excited.
The Raptors winning crushes my hand. Well, please let us know in the comments below if you would like us to do a part two, or if you'd like us to talk about the Raptors and basketball and why it's so important to us. Yeah. And then we had another thing we were going to ask people if they wanted to hear about. But that's all we can remember right
now. We just flew back in yesterday. We wanted to like record this podcast and share some of our fond memories of Guam. We really enjoyed it. If you're in Japan and you're looking for a place to vacation, it's only a 3-hour flight and it is super chill with gorgeous beaches and really fun
water slides. The airport is a 10-minute drive away from everything.
It's all small and tight and still like not dense. Like it's
a great place. Palm trees, white sand, clear skies,
gorgeous sunsets,
perfect
weather.
We
watched a rainbow on our anniversary.
Up here on the 16th.
Right on our anniversary, we saw it. It was great.
We saw rainstorms in the sun and people playing in a pool while the rain clouds go past you. It's so Katamari. Like
it was, it was very pretty vacation.
Thanks for welcoming us with open arms, Guam. We had a really good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll talk to you guys hopefully next week.
All right.
Ta-ta.
Bye-bye.